Hello, and welcome to Viewpoints, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete.
On today's show, we'll be talking about vision rehabilitation for all ages at our local Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired in Rochester, New York. We'll meet the executive director and some other people who work there and talk especially about their vision rehabilitation services and opticians and optical lab. But first, to our tip of the week. This week's tip is how to find services like this for the blind in a new location. The best place to start is at the American Foundation for the Blind's website, and that's www.afb.org. You scroll down to where it says, "Where can I find?" And that will help you find organizations that provide services to people who are blind or visually impaired and their families. And right below that is a drop-down box that says Find Helpful Services. If you click there, you'll get your choice of services in alphabetical order of advocacy, assessment, assistive products, assistive technology and computer programming, audio description, braille, and on and on and on. And if you get down to the R's, you'll find rehabilitation services, and you'll get a list with contact information for 369 different places in what seems to be all 50 states in the United States, all 10 provinces in Canada, and even a few places in the Caribbean. In the UK, similar services are provided by Action for Blind People, which is part of the Royal National Institute for Blind People, and you can find them at www.actionforblindpeople.org.uk. And if that doesn't work for you,
try Google and put in something like vision rehabilitation services or blind rehabilitation services or just services for the blind, and often it will come up with several suggestions of places in your area. So there's many ways of finding out places that may offer you some interesting services, from recreation to networking to learning new skills to adapting to a vision problem or some other issue, and you ought to search them out. And we're going to talk about one of those places today that are local in Rochester.
Turning now to our low-tech item, we'll be taking a virtual tour of our local Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired. We went there a few weeks ago and met some of the people who are instrumental in providing their services. From their website, they describe themselves as a $32 million social enterprise recognized nationally for its world-class vision rehabilitation programs, serving more than 4,000 people annually and employing over 550 people, approximately one quarter of whom are blind or visually impaired. We were really amazed at how huge this operation is. I mean, we really—
It was something, yeah.
We had no idea. So the first thing we saw when we walked in the door was a sign welcoming us. How cool.
Oh my gosh, look at that sign. Welcome to ABVI Goodwill from Reach Out Radio, Pete and Nancy Torpy.
Instant celebrities, right?
That's right. So everybody who saw that sign knew we were there.
So the purpose of the trip was to talk to some of their representatives and people who work there and to see some of the services that they offered. And so we're going to take you through some of what they showed us that day. In fact, we gathered so much information, we'll have another upcoming show in a couple of weeks or a month or two about some of the rest of the stuff we saw. But just to start off, they showed us some of their facilities.
So this is an interesting building. Obviously, an awful lot of the people who go in and out of the building have vision problems, and they've taken that into account when they designed the building. So there are guide railings along every corridor. There's textured flooring leading to emergency exits where appropriate. There are beepers on some of the high traffic doors that open out into a hall so that anybody coming up the hall knows somebody's opened that door. And there are Braille labels on every door and every sign. You know, you go into a hotel and there's Braille on all the doors and hardly anybody uses it. But at this place, everybody uses it and it really helps everybody get around the building. We even found one sign talking about an annual award that they give, and of course it was in print and Braille.
Here we have a plaque for the ABVI Goodwill Visionary Award, featuring all the winners from 1998 through 2008, and the entire thing is in both print and Braille on little brass plaques. And here we see in 2007
Ruth Finney.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
That is exciting.
Ruth Finney, our program director. So Ruth has been our mentor and was actually the person who got us involved in this weekly radio program, and we owe a lot to her, and apparently so does the Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired. She's a real advocate for those issues and working with visual impairment problems.
And really making things happen. So now they're working on an expansion to the building, which is interesting because, of course, their number of clients keeps increasing and the number of services that they provide keeps increasing. And in particular, they're planning to expand their vision rehabilitation and low vision services. And among other things, they're going to, this time around, make sure that the parking lot is on the same side of the busy street as the building. So this will be a big improvement. And they're putting in a sensory garden with obstacles that they can use for mobility and orientation training. And they are really excited about that. And I think the entire low vision community in the Rochester area should be as well. They're planning a grand opening next spring in 2012. So let's meet our hosts.
Gidget Hoff, and I'm president and CEO of ABVI Goodwill.
And I'm Todd Pipitone. I'm the public relations manager for ABVI Goodwill.
ABVI has many aspects. Here's their CEO, Gidget Hopp, describing their mission.
Our mission, which we're very proud of, is to prepare and empower people who are blind or visually impaired for self-sufficiency and contributions to their families and communities. And it's a very empowering mission statement in that once we give you, we just give the tools. We just help give the solutions. Once we do that, then people are empowered and enabled to really contribute in any way they choose, and depending on where they are in their phase of life. You know, what does it mean for an 85-year-old to be self-sufficient and contribute to their family and community? Well, if a person who's lost their sight late in life can now take their own medication, get to the mailbox and get their mail, and they're not dependent on their adult son or daughter or grandchildren to do that for them, well, what a great contribution, you know, not to mention the dignity of being able to be independent and not have that dependence on family. And what does, you know, it mean for a working age person? Well, obviously, you know, to become self-sufficient, to have that job. Well, one of the things we're most proud of is the jobs that we create here for people who are blind or visually impaired. We create jobs here, but we also train people and prepare them for jobs in other fields as well, in other industries outside of ABVI.
And that's a big thing to give people, is their independence. After all, you know, who's going to be your best advocate than yourself? And if you can learn to do things for yourself, you're in a much better position. So their mission, as Gidget said, is to give you the tools to enable that.
And if you're listening to this program in the Rochester, New York area, which they actually cover 9 counties, which is a pretty big area, you probably know how to get in touch with them. But just in case you don't, their web address is www.seegreatthings.com. And that's all one word, See Great Things. And their telephone number is area code 585-232-1111.
You are listening to Viewpoints.
This week's focus topic is the actual vision rehabilitation services at the Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired. The folks at ABVI regard their vision rehabilitation programs as their primary purpose. Here's Gidget Hopf again to describe them.
ABVI, in the 100 years, has grown to be recognized as one of the top organizations serving people who are blind in the country. And we're unique in a lot of ways. the comprehensive nature of our services. Number one, we serve very, very young children. We'll get calls right from the hospital when a child is born blind and start working with families right at that point. And the oldest person we served is 106. So, you know, birth to earth, as we like to say. And people stay with us throughout their lives in many cases as their needs change over the years.
Besides providing vision rehabilitation services, they also provide employment training and employment opportunities. They run several call centers, have several manufacturing lines, and have a food service operation as well. These not only provide training and employment opportunities to visually impaired people, but they also earn money that ABVI uses for its other programs.
The reason why all these programs exist is for our vision rehabilitation services. This portion of the building is the vision rehabilitation services wing, which we are in the process of expanding. The vision rehabilitation services, what I like to tell people when they come on tour, is really where we breathe life into the mission statement. This is where the rubber meets the road as far as teaching and preparing people to be independent and self-sufficient. And I always tell people that low vision and the low vision exam is really more about manipulating the environment than manipulating the eye.
And it's interesting when you talk about their low vision services. I mean, they really focus on how people function and do their daily routines and the daily things that they have to do. It's not just an eye exam. So this is very different than going to, you know, your general optician or even an ophthalmologist, where they just want to know how well you can see, but not how well you can function with the vision that you do have.
And they even do outreach into the community, trying to identify people who may be unaware that they need their services. And this is especially important for young children who don't realize that they're not seeing everything that they could be.
The other thing I wanted to mention, which I think is really exciting, and again, was an initiative of ours, fully paid for by philanthropic support, is our early vision screening and school age exams for kids. There's no requirement to have a vision screening up to age 3. And pediatricians don't typically screen for vision unless the parent notices something. And so we are now doing vision screenings with a very good protocol that the doctors endorsed. They developed it, endorsed it. And we're going to like Head Start programs and places where kids who are underprivileged are served. And the numbers of people, kids, that we are identifying that need follow-up mm-hmm. with a regular doctor is staggering, 20%.
Wow.
We've identified kids with amblyopia that, had they continued to go undetected, would have problems with their sight for life, not to mention be cross-eyed for life.
Amblyopia is a muscle?
Yeah, it's the way where in your eyes, you know, they call it cross-eyes. And then we also work with the school nurses because there's a lot of kids in school who have eye problems, and the nurses sort of detect them and think they have problems. They send them to us, but they don't have insurance. So mm-hmm. we have partnerships with Sterling Optical and Lens Crafters and others who provide the glasses, and our volunteer doctors do the exams.
You know, it's interesting, particularly when you talk about young children who may not be seeing perfectly. It's often hard to recognize. We always had our kids screened by eye doctors at a very early age because I was born with glaucoma, which could possibly be inherited. So we always had them checked out by ophthalmologists. But it was just after our son passed his school screening eye exam, and he still wasn't reading, but they said, you know, he was seeing okay. And we took him to our ophthalmologist, and he did a more detailed eye exam, and it turned out that he had a severe astigmatism. And as soon as we got him a pair of glasses, he came home that day. That's when he started reading. So these things can be subtle in children. It's important to get them checked thoroughly by an expert.
And that's why ABVI is so pleased that they've got a physician-developed and endorsed screening test that's hopefully a lot more effective than the ones our kid passed right before getting eyeglasses that
right.
he really needed. As we continued our tour, we walked in on a meeting in their home skills training center. This room looks like a kitchen with a laundry facility built in, and they use it to train people and help them to remain independent and self-sufficient as their vision fails. And they learn all sorts of home skills, which, you know, you really, if you're not used to having low vision or none, it's nice to have somebody train you how to do things safely so you can go about your daily living. There we met several major figures in the Vision Rehabilitation Department.
My name is Nancy Nealon, and I'm the Vice President of the Vision Rehabilitation Department. Kathy White is here, who is the Managing Director of the Low Vision Center.
Hello. Hey. Nice to meet you.
Hello.
Howdy.
Sarah Van Bordel, to your right, is our social work team leader.
Hi.
Hello.
Peter. Howdy.
And our guest is Laura Camerata. And Laura is from CCSI, Coordinated Care Services. And we work with CCSI.
And they provide a large variety of services.
The whole department represents the Low Vision Center, our social work services, rehabilitation teaching, orientation mobility, adaptive technology, employment, children's program, education, support groups. The list goes on and on and on.
It's a whole package.
Yeah. Cool. Recreation, correct? So it's comprehensive vision rehabilitation services.
So how do people find out about you?
The majority of our referrals are from eye doctors and oftentimes specialists, retinal specialists. But through Todd and the marketing efforts, we have a big push to increase public awareness. We do a slew of health fairs. We respond and go to as many presentations as possible. We have a lot of referrals from school districts as well, and we are active in the early intervention and the preschool programming for young children. Mm-hmm. Because we serve people birth to earth. Mm-hmm. It's across the board. Yeah. And we do whatever we can, obviously having our Reach Out Radio program, New Beginnings, mm-hmm. the Beacon, our newsletter, and our website. Mm-hmm. We do now upwards of 5 different sessions of Adjusting to Vision Loss groups. Mm-hmm. And those are open to individuals of any age. And it's really time for people to work through a lot of those feelings and the grief, the loss, and how very difficult it is to think about not driving or being dependent.
I think it depends when we get the referral also. The eye doctors in Rochester are referring people earlier and earlier in their disease process. So our most common diagnosis is macular degeneration. 20 years ago, we didn't see individuals until they were legally blind. But now we're receiving referrals when they're just beginning to have problems, reading their newspaper, worried about renewing their driver's license, and they come in for low vision only. They don't need the wealth of services, but yet 3 years later, as their vision loss progresses, they are much more willing to return.
You know, and it's a lot easier, I think, if you follow a problem progressively. There's so many people that they have some issue and, you know, they wait until it's too late, until their life has changed too much, and then it's difficult to make some changes and integrate these changes into your life. If you catch some of these problems early and you can make some small modifications little by little as your eyesight diminishes and learn some accommodations at each step of the way, that can be a lot easier, and it's fortunate that they're able to do this with their outreach these days and catch people a little bit earlier in the process. And you can see that they have a very integrated approach with the various aspects of living and technology and bringing all these things together so people can actually perform their daily tasks or employment or whatever they need to do. So also when people come in, they also have a store there with a number of items that can make life a little bit easier. And so we got a little visit to their store to see what kinds of aids they have that they could show people that would help them with their daily living things.
We're back in the Insight Shop, and what we have here, what we're looking at, is everything from as you just said, large print clocks, timers, telephones, Bibles, giant print address books. We actually sell large print calendars, check registers, everything that you could think of to adapt your everyday life to your vision loss is available here in the Insight Shop. We do have a staff that can help with the items. We have talking watches, magnifiers, CCTVs. And we also, looking around, some of the products aren't, you'd say, well, I could go to a local Walmart and buy these things, and they're picked out. Some of them are because of their contrast and mm-hmm. things like that, because everyday items that are out there, some of them are very useful for people with vision loss.
See, what I think is cool about this shop is that people can come in and check things out.
Exactly. It's open every day of the week. You can just stop into our location and come on in, and someone can help you.
So it's real nice to see all these things in one place where you can actually touch them, try them out. I mean, we talk a lot on this show about different catalogs and places you can get stuff like this over the net, but to be able to touch it is really a big thing and to see how it'll actually work for you.
So if you think you need a magnifier, they've got probably 6, 8, 10 different magnifiers. They're different sizes, they're different magnification. Some of them come with illumination or not. And so you can test them out, you know, bring in a book that you want to read, although I'm sure they have samples, and just try out one of each until you find the one that works best for you. And they're also working on creating an online presence. They don't have it yet, but once you do know what you want and you decide you want to buy another one, or you can go to their online presence once it's developed and save yourself a trip to the store. Now for this week's high-tech item. We'll be talking with their licensed low-vision optician about what services she provides and what they can do in their optical lab. And as with all their other services, there's a huge array of specialty eyewear.
My name is Wendy Mika, and I am a licensed low-vision optician. What I do is I fit people with eyeglasses, with magnifiers. I do sun lens evaluations, and we do bioptic telescopes for driving, various telescopes for distance viewing. Usually the people that I fit with the eyeglasses are people who have pathologies, so there's something going on with their vision, where a normal pair of glasses, just a normal correction, is not going to give them 20/20 vision. Although I do take people who have insurances, and I do fill those as well. But usually if you have something going on in your eye, if you have a pathology and you need special lenses, that's when most people will come here. We deal with a lot of prism, relocating the image for patients. So our the glasses that we make up are more toward the specialty lenses, not just your, you know, frame and lenses.
So you're talking about things like if someone has macular degeneration, you'll use a prism to put right. The image on a part of the retina where it still works.
Correct.
Okay, cool.
For some people, tints are very important. Contrast is very important. So that's where with us, we have just a whole array of tints, contrast lenses. And
Thank
we
you.
Also do sun lenses, too. The instant sunglasses that slip behind, and we do a polarized gray, a polarized brown, we do a yellow. And so all three of those for different days, different conditions mm-hmm. that they can wear.
Well, polarization can make a big difference to take away the glare and make the light.
Absolutely.
A polarized, the contrast of things.
A polarized lens is the only lens that will eliminate the glare. But sunglasses are important. Everybody should wear sunglasses. And if you wear a prescription sunglasses are even better.
And again, these places, you'll find lenses and devices that are very different than you would see at a normal eyeglasses store. So if you do have some special eye problem or impairment, it's well worth checking out what kind of specialty solutions they might develop for you.
We were particularly intrigued by the bioptic telescope lenses that Wendy mentioned. This is certainly not anything you'd be able to buy at your local commercial eyeglasses store, but they make them.
A bioptic telescope is a telescope that is mounted high and in an upward position in a pair of glasses that will allow you to spot signs, spot traffic, you know, the lights, anything ahead. It's just used as a spotting device. As long as you get 20/100 through the carrier lens and 20/40 through the bioptic telescope, then you can use them for driving.
And then you actually have the driving instructors here?
We have orientation and mobility instructor who does pre-driver training. And what they do is they orient the patient to wearing the telescopes. They train them how to use them. So what we do is we send them home with a work packet, and we have them practice for 30 days. Then we have our orientation and mobility instructor or our occupational therapist, when we do have one on staff, will do the pre-driver training. They'll come back for a follow-up visit, and then the doctor will send them over to Rochester Rehab. Because Rochester Rehab really just wants to test them with the telescopes. They don't want to spend all the time doing the pre-driver training.
Sounds a little scary to me, but I assume they know what they're doing and they've had a lot of experience in this area. So if you do have some difficulty driving and you do have some issues like that, maybe this is something you can check out that would make things a little bit safer for you.
So again, if you want more information or to make an appointment with the Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired, you can go to their website at www.seegreatthings.com. Or you can call them at area code 585-232-1111. And if you don't live in the 9-county area served by them in Western New York, and you're in the United States, you can go to the American Foundation for the Blind at www.afb.org to find a similar organization in your area, or in the UK at www.actionforblindpeople.org.uk.
Or Google.
Or Google, because apparently we have listeners from all over the world. They're not all in the U.S. or Canada or the U.K. Google works everywhere. That's it for this week's show. Next week on Viewpoints, we'll be talking about the accessibility of the relatively new Nook Color e-reader and using OverDrive to get library books onto it. We'll review the features and accessibility of the Nook Color and give step-by-step instructions for downloading e-books from the public library via OverDrive. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to reachout@wxxi.org or call us at 585-258-0333, and we'll try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Viewpoints, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. This program was hosted by Nancy Goodman-Torpey and Peter Torpey. We hope you'll join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show by going to our website at wxxi.org/reachout and clicking on the podcast's link. Thanks for listening to Viewpoints, and have a nice day.